Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd. I'm here tonight with my co-host, Red Beckman, and Dr. Kate. Red, would you like to tell the folks hello?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Be here.
Would you like to open us in prayer?
I shall be more than happy to.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come to Thee recognizing our weaknesses, recognizing that we are nothing without Your help and without Your Spirit. We just pray, dear Lord, that You would help us tonight as we have a discussion here for 2 hours. Help us that we might speak the words that You would have us to speak. Help us to exercise that gift of discernment that You have provided for us as we discuss the government, the income tax. We just need to have Your insight. We need to have Your input into this subject. And we just pray now that You would give us an audience tonight that needs to hear a message from You. And we hope that we can just be the channel that You can use tonight to speak to people out there in an audience. And we just pray now that You would watch over us and keep us and give us a great evening here, a lot of good material. We just thank You now because You have made this available, this access to this kind of an audience. We just thank You for it. And we pray now that You would give us the words You would have us to speak. And we'll give You the praise for everything. In Christ's name, amen.
Well, good evening, Red. Good evening, Kate. I hope you're giving yourself a live mic tonight so you'll join in this discussion. Red, we've had a lot of crazy things going on here in this country. And this week seems to be just continuing to peak at a higher level of corruption, and the good news is it seems like are willing to cover up for this administration. And I thought tonight would be a good opportunity for us to have a good discussion about the IRS and talk a little bit about you know, kind of the background that you've got. That really shows this. They're really proving everything that you've said over the years to be the truth and to be right. So, I mean, I'd kind of like for you to open us up here and kind of give us a little taste of what this means to you and what you're seeing going on now.
Well, this is pretty exciting stuff, thrilling stuff for me, what's going on. And as I was eating my dinner just a few minutes ago, I thought about the fact that my first book that I wrote back there in the fall of 1980, I wrote Born Again Republic, and I had never written a book. I didn't know anything about writing books or anything else. It just seemed like, I had tried for a year or two to find somebody that could kind of ghostwrite, that would that I could work with that would be better equipped. The one subject that I didn't appreciate, I didn't like it at all, when I was in school, in high school, was English. I thought English was a waste of time. And here I was trying to write a book, and as far as sentence structure and all of that, I wasn't very good at that, I can assure you. At least I just didn't realize I had read a tremendous amount of information books over the years, and I think that's what gave me the ability with God's help to do what I did with this book, because I ordered 10,000 books the first time, the first printing, and boy, I wouldn't do that again for anything, because no matter how hard you try, there's always some typos that sneak up on you and manage to get through. And of course, the readers out there, they'll quickly inform you about any typos. They'll let you know. And so it was really quite a thrill, because people laughed at me because I had ordered 10,000, and different ones said, yeah, you'll have most of those books will be stacked up in his garage for years because nobody will want them. But I ordered 10,000, took delivery on them, and within 30 days we had to order another 10,000. Because the book went over quite well, and of course, I had to give my Heavenly Father credit for it, because I hadn't been trained that way. I hadn't been educated to be a writer or anything like that, and here I ended up. Well, I had had a young lawyer in Billings, Montana. I had had him more or less critique my manuscript that my missus had typed up, and he read it, and he told me, he said, well, he had been a high school education or English teacher before he got selected for law school in Montana. And so that's why I wanted him to critique it, because he was supposedly a master with the English language. And when I talked to him after he'd read the book, he said, I don't know how you did it, because he said, you've got a winner. He said, I tried to write books because I had things that I would like to put down in books, and I can't do it. I cannot get these a book put together, and you have got a winner your first time. And, of course, that came as a very big surprise to me, but it is no surprise anymore, because I recognize that I had a lot of super kind of help to write the book. And in the book, I have a chapter in the book, and it's called The Pious Puppets. And I talk about the churches, and I talk about the ministers and what they're teaching in the churches. And in that chapter, I explain how that the federal income tax, some of your long-term listeners here will remember the series that we of programs we did where we talked about the satanic counterfeit to what God has ordained and planned. And the income tax, I state that the income tax, as it is administered in this country, is a counterfeit to the born-again, or I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with my memory here and such. The income tax, as it is administered, is a satanic counterfeit to the federal income tax, the graduated tax, graduated income tax, as Karl Marx, stated in his manifesto that was a necessary item, a necessary political creature that needed to be created to destroy a middle class. And so in the book I state that the income tax, as we know it, is a satanic counterfeit to the born... There I go again. It's the satanic counterfeit to what we have as an income tax in this country. The tax, the God-ordained 10% tithe was a 10% right off of the top of our productivity that we were to return to our Creator, our Heavenly Father. And it was a voluntary tax. There was nothing mandatory about that tithe. It wasn't a tax. It was a return to our Heavenly Father for His gifts to us, the gift of a good crop, the gift of a good catch on fish or whatever. And so I wrote that up at that time in that way, and of course I brought out how that the federal income tax, as it is administered, and all that money, income tax money that's paid in, how much of it is going to pay for the abortion, the murder of the unborn. And it just, I thought of it there as I was eating dinner, how that book has been out 33 years now, this year. And back then I understood, I recognized what the federal income tax was and where it fit into the picture. And it's more true today than it was then. The counterfeit tax, they tell you, they say it's a voluntary tax, but if you don't volunteer, you go to jail. Now, that... that's pretty obviously a lie. That's a violation of the laws of grammar. They have tampered with the definition of the word voluntary, and so it's all the religious world out here should have detected this. They should have discerned it. They should have recognized what it was, and there should have been an uproar, to get rid of the income tax. A long time ago, at its very inception, it should have been recognized as a plank of the Communist Manifesto, which is a satanically ordained or instigated political recipe for disaster. I've been talking about this over the years. My book, Why the Militia, I have a chapter in there. I ask the question, is the federal government a false god? And, of course, our federal government meets all the criteria that would... identify it as a false god. And this is, there just isn't hardly anybody out there, you see, in the religious world, in the denominational religious world, that recognizes this. And that's really a sad commentary on our church religious community or Christian community worldwide. And so with that, I think I've said enough here, at least to get this thing going here. I'm having trouble with my false teeth tonight. I hope that Terry and Dr. Kate, I hope you can carry the weight of this thing. But I sure think it's time for us to discuss this. I think it's a good thing that we're doing it tonight with all of the publicity and, of course, we have to suspicion that there's something in the wind. There's going to be some changes because the major media have been bad-mouthing the IRS pretty pretty strong here for the last week or two, and it just well, that hasn't happened. So we know there's something politically brewing out there, and we haven't been able to identify it yet. But there's going to be, you know, every time they've had tax legislation, they say, oh, it's going to be revenue neutral, it's going to be easier to handle and all that. But I've never seen anything that Congress ever did with taxes except raise taxes even higher than they were before. So I'll turn this back to you, Terry.
Well, Red, thank you very much for opening us up. You know, I've been studying now for about 5 years all of this, these concepts about jurisdictions and, you know, talking to people who have been basically non-taxpayers, trying to figure out how to lawfully go about doing what seems to be lawful. And what seems to be lawful is that that the income tax is not something that applies to people who are born within the 50 states or have even nationalized into the 50 states, who are getting compensated for labor. And the Constitution seems to protect against a direct non-apportioned tax. And I've been studying it and listening to all the different people out there who have claimed to have silver bullets, and by that meaning the ultimate answer on how to go about getting out of the jurisdiction of Washington, D.C. And the IRS. And I really, up until now, had not began to get comfortable that there was a way to do this without putting yourself in a position or risk of being put in jail or at least persecuted by this police state organization to some extent. Well, I'm beginning to get comfortable with it now. And, you know, after studying all of this and understanding and hearing some of the things over and over, the same things from different people, and now hearing it from some people who are having very good success, I'm beginning to have some understanding of that, and I believe that I'm about ready to get there. I was also very concerned, and I've got a lot to say about this, so I'm trying not to be too scattered in what I'm saying, but I'm beginning to get comfortable with the fact that I can still recover the nearly 50 years of Social Security that I've paid in. I believe that it's possible to remove yourself from the tax, income tax rolls, and still keep that contract that I voluntarily made with the federal government, and get my Social Security payments back that I've paid in over the last 50 years. It's not an entitlement. It's not something that I'm entitled to. It's something that I paid into, I invested into, and they owe me back what I've paid in. And I've been very concerned about taking the position of a sovereign or a non-resident alien, if you will, because I've feared that they would somehow figure out a way to cheat me out of the money that they've basically stolen from me fraudulently over all these years. Well, I'm getting comfortable now that can actually happen. And I think in some future shows we're going to be able to expose this. There's some websites now that people can go to. There's some people who have established some expertise in this and that are having good success with it. Some of the acquaintances and people that I communicate with and some of the other forums that I'm working with are having some success with this, and I'm beginning to get comfortable. But that said, I think we need to, for a minute, focus on this scandal situation that's going on. Everybody's all in an uproar. Well, what got the press finally to open up about this and to call a spade is that the IRS started snooping on the Associated Press's phone records. And when they started snooping on the press, they were biting the hand that fed them. And now that hand is screaming bloody murder. And so finally some things are coming out. But you know what? I'm not surprised about this. Red, are you surprised about this? Does this surprise you at all?
Not a bit. Not at all.
No,
it didn't surprise me because we have seen so many things happening in the last several months that, that are just a total shock. It's just been... I say that it's all changed ever since there was that international conference of 120 nations that were in Tehran, Iran, back in, they met for a week the last few days of August and the first week of September, and ever since that conference, there has been just an unbelievable change in a lot of things. And, now it's coming out that our U.S. military has come to an agreement or an understanding on their part in the military that it was the Israeli Mossad that did the 911 thing. Now, who would have ever anticipated something like that? And so it's just a total shock. And so you've got to recognize that the income tax, as it is administered in this country, is basically the same kind of people that perpetrate all these international incidents. Those 120 nations that were met there in that conference, and the United States and England, were disinvited. They were told not to be there because those 120 nations were convinced that they England and the United States were a problem. And so they were uninvited, you might say, to that conference. But there's just been so many things. It's just unbelievable. I really need to sit down and write some of these down and write them up because it is just so unbelievable. Here we've got, the IRS scandal. We got the Benghazi scandal, and there's two more. I can't even think what they are right now that are all hanging there. They're all hanging fire right at the same time. And so, of course, I'm so convinced, and I tell people this on a regular basis, that the federal government is going to be dissolved at some point. And I say that because our federal government is in violation of God's first and second commandments. And the first and second commandments come into play. The USSR went down because they said there is no creator God, and they said that the government would be the God for the Russian people. And that is basically what's happening in our country right now, the government is trying to be the God that is taking care of all of the needs of the people and all, and... The first commandment says, thou shalt have no other God before me. And the second commandment says, he says, I'm a jealous God. And there's been a lot of tyrannies, a lot of political systems that have been tossed onto the junk heaps of history because they came up with false gods, idolatry of all kinds. And so that's going to bring down this federal government. And I think that this situation right now where we've got at least four major scandals that are they're being examined, investigated by the U.S. Congress and such, and the media is getting involved, and This is all part of what's happening, and it's going to happen. I said for years before the USSR went down, I said they're going to go down. They're not going to survive. They cannot compete with the Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe. When he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, he meant exactly what he said. And so this government is determined to shut down the Christian faith in this country if they can. And it's not going to happen. It's just they're not going to be able to do it. And because our Heavenly Father is going to step in. And so, I could go on forever on this. I better shut down, because I'm thrilled to death watching what is happening and watching these people as they struggle, try to find answers. And there aren't any answers. There aren't any good answers. They've got to go to the scriptures, and that's where they're going to find the answers, the true answers. There's no place else where they can find the answers. And so I'll shut down again. It's all yours, Terry.
Well, Red, the reason that I was saying about not being surprised was extensive, actually. In studying the IRS, I've come to learn that they were never created to serve our government or our republic or the people of the United States, of the 50 states. They were created to be a collection agent, a police state, a muscle arm of the banksters to collect the interest on the fraudulent debt that our Congress got bought off and allowed the banksters, the central bank, to charge interest completely for fake money, for nothing. They put up no intrinsic value. So they had to have a way of collecting that interest, and that's what the IRS has always been about. And then if you look at the history of it, what they're doing now and what everybody's all up in arms about is no different than what they've been doing in the past. This administration is not the first one to use the IRS in this way. You know, you look at Lyndon Johnson. You look at even Nixon did it to some extent. You look at when H.W. Bush was in there, when Bill was in there, and basically Hillary was running the cabinet, all the cabinet positions, and they were controlling people to keep them quiet about all of their corruption. They've been using the IRS to target people, for at least 50 years that I know of. And, here I am, I'm a 62-year-old guy. For at least 50 years of my life that I know of, they've been doing this. So this is no surprise. This is exactly what they were set up to do. They're bullies. That's what they were supposed to be in the first place. They just tried to keep it quiet, and now all of a sudden, with this usurper that we've got in the White House, it's just making things so much more obvious as to the nature of the people in Washington, D.C., and in New York, and London, and all of those that control our IRS. So there is no surprise. This is not news. It's not new. It's been going on for a long time. Well, now let's look at something for a minute, because this is what I'm beginning to understand. I'm beginning to understand about how they managed to pull off an unconstitutional change and make it so that it, I guess you could say color of law or whatever, but it is in fact constitutional, because there's nothing in the Constitution to stop this entity that exists in Washington, in the District of Columbia, from making a rule or an amendment that only applies to them. Now, I'm going to say that again. There is apparently nothing in the Constitution to stop those in the District of Columbia from making an amendment that applies only to them. We have a voluntary tax system, like you said a while ago, that we've been lied about. We've been lied directly, and we've been lied by omission. These people operate in shadows. They deliberately, for example, instead of defining what something is, they'll define what it's not so that they can continue to deceive people about what it is. And that's the way they function on a regular basis in the tax code and with the rules that they make in District of Columbia. This District of Columbia is not the 50 states. They look at the states as though the states are foreign entities. They don't look at the state of Colorado any differently than they look at France from the District of Columbia. But they've deceived the people into agreeing to be treated like what they call U.S. citizens, when in fact the people who are sojourning, if you will, in the 50 states are not at birth U.S. citizens. This is a creation that they have made us into. And when we sign, as soon as we fill out our first 1040, we're agreeing to be treated that way. So we are volunteering into the system. And we have the right as an American national, as a natural born citizen or a naturalized citizen of any of the 50 states, to say we are not this fiction that you've created. We are not under the jurisdiction of District of Columbia. We are in the Republic. And the first thing we need to understand is that there's a difference between the District of Columbia and this corporation set up as the United States of America Corporation and the Republic. The Republic is different from that. It is foreign to us. So we need to learn how to make the election to say, no, I'm not in that system. I'm not under that jurisdiction. I am not what you're classifying as a U.S. citizen. I am an American national. I'm a citizen a man living, if you will, in a state where I'm a natural born citizen of that state, but I'm not a U.S. citizen. They have tricked people into this, and they have a right to do that if we agree to it and allow it. But the fact of the matter is most people have been fraudulently tricked into this and deceived into it, and they don't realize that we can opt out of it. And I'm just beginning to understand that. But as it is right now, everybody's running around. It's a great opportunity for us to educate people. It's a great opportunity for us to say to people, hey, look, wake up. They've been lying to us. We don't have to do this. We're not subject to that jurisdiction. We, according to the Constitution of our Republic, our union of 50 states, they don't have the right to charge income tax, a direct non-apportioned income tax. And that suit that you cited with me that I put in that article that I published, that lawsuit back in 1895 is very, very important because it determined that they don't have the right to do this to us. Even though what they did with the 16th may have been constitutionally allowed within the District of Columbia, but it only applied to them. It didn't apply to us unless we say, okay, we agree to it. And this is very, very important to me because I'm now finally getting comfortable with the fact that I don't have to give up any of my rights in order to tell them what rights they don't have over me. I am not their slave. I have been fraudulently committed to this agreement that I've volunteered to do every time I've signed a 1040. I didn't recognize that I had the right to opt out of that. But you've got to do the right things. You've got to serve notice on them at this point and say, I'm not in your jurisdiction. I'm not an employee of District of Columbia. I don't work for the federal government. I'm opting out. And we have the right to do that. So Red, you've been fighting this battle for a long time, and I know this is a different angle than you've come at it before.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Terry, there are people sitting in jail right now that have unraveled all of this fraud, and they have been denied a due process of law, and they're sitting in jail. They are right. The government is wrong, but they're sitting in jail. And the reason for that is that they go to trial, and there's a 12-person jury sitting there, and they've all been filing and returns and everything, and they're just absolutely convinced that it's a lawful tax. Because they've been mentally crippled, and the feds they laugh all the way to the bank, and it isn't now until now in the last few years here that people have figured it out that it's the jury that sends people to jail. You see, the IRS has never sent anybody to jail, never. If people waive their rights and plea bargain and all that, well, then they've got nobody to blame but themselves. However, it's the people, we the people, and our state of mental disabilities that sit on these juries and these grand juries and are totally manipulated because we have been educated, they say, and we're not educated at all. We've been brain damaged because of what they're teaching in our government schools and in our churches and our media. What you've got in the IRS code, it's a lawyer's playground. The lawyers are the only ones he ever condemned. He said, woe unto you lawyers. And he said, you change the words and all this kind of thing. And the IRS code is a masterpiece of lawyer gamemanship, where they play games with law and such, and I think it's very, very difficult. I would never recommend that anybody do basically what you have, the conclusions that you've come up to with, for the simple reason that you can follow all of that lawyer manipulations and such. You can follow that, and you can follow it right to the letter. But it doesn't do anything for you at all when you get into that court, and the judge is a beneficiary of the tax laws. The prosecutor is a beneficiary of the tax laws. Both of them went through a law school where they learned to be crooks and be lawyers that can manipulate and change words and all of that kind of thing. You've got a jury of 12 people that think that the news media is correct when they call us tax protesters bad names. They slander us on a regular basis. And so it's not, you can be 100% legally correct and go to jail. And so you've got to be very, very careful. And that's why, you see, I figured this out a long time ago. I sat in 1960, 1976, I watched some trials, some IRS trials, and I watched how they operated. And, you know, they lied to the jury. They wouldn't let the jury bring in the Constitution as a defense and everything else. And it was just like an assembly line, the way they were sending people off to jail. And it didn't take me long to figure out that the problem was we the people, and the fact that we have become mentally disabled because of our education and in the schools and in the churches. The churches are just as much to blame as the schools. The media is to blame because they too, the media, they go to the same churches, went to the same schools and everything the rest of us did. And it's just been, you know, you're a sitting duck. Now, I've watched all this action and this protest that's going on, the investigations and everything, and I've chuckled to myself because back in the 70s, we started running television specials, and we produced these television specials ourselves, and of course I knew nothing about that kind of stuff. But we did it, and we spent our money, and in 1979, we produced a program, a one-hour TV program called People and Taxes. And, well, the commissioner, or not the commissioner of the IRS, it was the district director, the Montana district director for the IRS. He would put out a news release to the media, and it would be on every television station in Montana. It would be in every newspaper, right on the front page, of course, in the newspaper. And he would say, in 79, he said, the IRS had tried 13 cases in the previous 2 years, and they won 12 of the 13. They lost the 13, the one, because of a technicality, so they went back and they re-indicted him and tried him again and sent him to jail. So basically they were batting 100%. And we ran that television special, and we explained to the people how that the IRS was totally dependent on stupid people serving on the jury. And we told people, now, you, if you're not registered to vote, you get in there and you register to vote. Now, you've seen this program. You see what you're hearing what we're telling you. And it shook up the system so bad. 2 days after that program showed, and back then there were only two stations that covered that basic area. There were no satellites or anything like that. And so we had a big audience. And, of course, we preempted a major television serial program. And they came out to my place. I was living on a 19-acre piece of ground that was had a great potential for future development, and they came out and they put a seizure, an IRS seizure, and they hung it on the gate. And and of course, I knew what the law said. The law, the IRS code says that they've got to present it to you. They got to come to your door, and they've got to hand that to you because it's like a summons. Only if you're not there and if you don't answer the door, then they tape it to your door, the seizure. And they didn't do that. They were afraid to come in there through the gate, so they put it on the gate, which made it illegal. It was absolutely outside of the code. But it was being done in a way that, you know, to try to intimidate me, just like what they've been doing to the Tea Party people. Now, this is 1979. This is 34 years ago that they were doing this kind of thing. Now, we were having meetings every week at the Holiday Inn there in Billings, Montana, and the whole town knew what we were doing, and we would have some pretty substantial crowds, 300, 400, or 500 people sometimes. And we met every week for a matter of about 3 years. We were the organization that paid the Holiday Inn more rent than any organization, and they were glad to have us. But we ended up, we discontinued the meetings because the IRS would come and they would take the license plate numbers of all of the people attending out of the parking lot at the Holiday Inn. They would take those license plates, and those people were all subject to audits. They were, I know we had people that we found out later that people lost their homes. They were, you know, really ripped off. And so it's rather interesting because 34 years ago they were pulling this stunt that they're now getting blamed for 34 years late. And so the 19 acres where that that seizure was put on the gate, it is now the largest truck stop in the state of Montana because it's right there on an interchange on Interstate 90. And so it's with me, it's interesting, more interesting for me for the simple reason that I have lived through a great deal of this. And I just, well, I guess I knew that it was going to happen, because our Heavenly Father is a jealous God, and He steps into the picture and He makes people do things that they really didn't plan on, but they'll do it, and they'll make mistakes, terrible mistakes. And yesterday, I think it was yesterday, there was a bureaucrat, Lois Lerner, was the head of the department where they were doing, she was the head of this department that was going out and harassing the Tea Party people. And she testified, she went, they had her come in to testify before one of the congressional committees. And she started her presentation. I watched it on television. She said, I've done nothing wrong. And then she gave a spiel about how she had worked for the government now for 34 years. She spent 34 years of her life in government. And then she kind of comes to the close, her closing statement, and she says, I've been advised by my counsel not to answer any more questions, so I'm going to take the Fifth Amendment. Ah, boy. This gal, her counsel is a crooked lawyer, and she's going to hate his guts because when she made that statement initially that she had done nothing wrong, she just kept herself from being able to access the Fifth Amendment security to keep from testifying. She will be subpoenaed back, I'm sure, and they're going to hold her feet to the fire. And I think, if I remember right, on the internet today, they said that she had over the past 4 years, she had a salary, I think, of between $90,000 and $100,000 a year, and she has gotten over $40,000 in bonuses over the last four years. And so your audience out there, they can understand where I'm more than just a little amused and more than just a little bit thrilled by what's happening right now. And one of the things that happened after we run that television, I wanted to tell you this. I told people, get yourself into the register, the voter registration, and get yourself registered to vote. And the very next day, the very next business day, and when that was on a Monday, I think we ran the program, they had people at the clerk and recorder's office, that part of the clerk and recorder's office that was handled the voter registration, ballot counting, and all that kind of stuff. And they had people lined up. It was on second floor. They were lined up down the hall. They were down in the lobby. There wasn't room for them on the second floor. They had people lined up waiting for an opportunity to get in to get registered to vote. And this just literally scared the living daylights out of the IRS. That's why they got shook up so bad that they put that seizure notice on my place. And of course, they just made a lot of big mistakes. And so when we stand up to them, and especially if we have our Heavenly Father's guidance and His Spirit is able to help us and lead us, we're more than a match for them. I won't tell you what my last check was that I got out of them, but and of course I haven't filed for many, many years, and so I've sued them successfully, and I will sue them again, I'm sure. And it's just I think the good Lord is making some moves that we really need to recognize. God's power is evident in the world we live in today, and so let's be thrilled and let's be happy to see our Heavenly Father inject Himself into the political structures that we have on this planet. So I'll go back to you, Terry.
Well, you're absolutely correct, Gus. I mean, excuse me, Red. If you walk into the tax court and give them jurisdiction over you, which is what you're doing when you walk into that court, then they're going to rip you. They're going to rake you over the coals. The process that I'm seeing that's being successful at this point is a process where you revoke the elections to participate and give actual notice of your American nationalist American national status, and put them on notice that you're not subject to their jurisdiction in this current and those years going forward, tax years. You can't notice them for past stuff, but you can notice them for current and future stuff. And then you never set foot in that court. From what I'm hearing, there's not really a law that says you have to set foot in that court. As long as you respond appropriately, as long as you've done the proper revocation notices, as long as you have in essence expatriated from being what they term a U.S. citizen, being under the jurisdiction of District of Columbia, then you can notice that court and never set foot in it and never give them the opportunity to pull you into their jurisdiction. And I am hearing that people are having that are going through the proper procedure, learning the terms that they need to know, because just like the term non-resident alien. Now, that sounds like you're some foreigner, but you're only foreign to the District of Columbia, not to your state and not to your republic, but only to that corporate entity there in the District of Columbia. So I'm hearing that if you if you learn what not to say, because that's just as important as knowing what to say, and you serve the right notices, and you take, you know, that position and don't veer from it, then they can never come against you again. As a matter of fact, there's even a provision in the tax code that says once you have declared yourself as a non-resident alien to the District of Columbia, they don't want you back in the system. There's actually a provision in there that says you can no longer file a 1040. Now, that's bizarre, but that's there. So I want to get some people on here. I want to get this information accurate. So I don't want to speak out of school, and I'm certainly no expert at this point, but I am getting to the point of being comfortable with the fact that we should be, if we knew what we're supposed to know or what we should know, we are not tax evaders or tax protesters. We are non-tax status. And we just have to take the proper procedure to put ourselves in that position. There is a form under federal forms, W-8, that classifies us in as being exempt from this federal tax. And if we serve the right notices, we fill that out, you give it to your employer, they no longer are allowed to withhold from you. And I've talked to people who have done this in the past, but I never really understood it fully until now. And I've still got some things to learn. I certainly don't have all the answers, but I'm getting comfortable with that. Does that make sense to you, Red? Because if it didn't make sense to you, it's not going to make sense to anybody else.
You see, I know that the whole system is fraudulent. The way it works, you see, they've been able to do anything they wanted to do because of the fact that the American people, they've got all these high school and college diplomas and everything, but they're still dumber than a pile of rocks in a lot of things. And so they can do these things, and they can be as wrong as can be. I remember back, it was in the late 80s, about 86, I think, or 7, there was two tax cases in one state in two different courts, federal courts, and they were about 200 miles apart in two different cities. And it was just 4 to 6 weeks or so in between the two trials. And the judge and both of the defendants went to jail in the two cases in the two cities. But in the one, the two of them, in one of them, they made a statement, the prosecutors, talking about the 16th Amendment, and said, we don't need the 16th Amendment to administer the income tax, the federal income tax. In the other case, the judge and the prosecutor both said, well, we've got to have the 16th Amendment, otherwise the tax is not a lawful tax. It's not a constitutional tax. We had two totally opposite decisions by two different federal judges. Both of those convictions went to the appellate court, and the appellate court, this was pointed out to the appellate court, that these two opinions had been rendered in these two different cases, and the appellate court approved the sentences, and the guys did their time in jail. You're having a tough time beating a system like that. You see, if they bring you into court on an indictment where they have been able to manipulate the grand jury to produce an indictment, when you come into that court, when you come in there, you aren't going to be able to use these sophisticated arguments, because before the trial starts, the prosecutor, he files a motion with the court, and it's called a motion in limine. And the prosecutor Riff. Lists a number of things
Riff.
That they're afraid you're going to use in your defense, and you've used them in your arguments. And if you use any of those arguments after the judge has approved this motion in limine, you're going to go to jail. I mean, on contempt. And I'm telling you, it'll happen so fast, you'll wonder what in the world happened to you, because they'll take you right out of the courtroom and take you right straight to a jail cell, because you cannot violate the judge's order in that motion in limine. You're not going to be able to use the truth. You're not going to be able to use anything that might be in your favor. I remember a trial back in the early 80s in California, where a fellow tax protester tried to use the Constitution for the United States of America in
Right.
his defense in that courtroom.
Right.
And the prosecutor, the jury is sitting there in the jury box. The prosecutor took a copy of the Constitution for the United States of America, threw it on the floor, and stomped on it. And he said, "This is what I think of your Constitution." And the jury is sitting there watching it all. And when they went and made their decision on this guy, he went to jail. Why? Because you had 12 people on that jury that were mentally crippled. And that's the biggest problem in this country, is that the public are mentally crippled, and the judges in the courts are able to get away with this. They're political animals. And that's why we have been so successful in what I've been doing. In anybody that's got a 90-day letter, we don't know of a single case where we've been able to help people where they have had to go through the ordeal of a tax court because we cite that judge for his conflict of interest at pretrial and put in a motion to dismiss supported by a judicial notice, putting the judge on notice that he has a conflict of interest. In tax court, that's not a constitutional court. It's not a court at all. It's a rip-off.
There you go.
Now
you're on point. Now you said it. You've said what the case is right there. Those 12 people in that jury box have been duped into believing that the term U.S. citizen is what they were born as. They don't recognize that they have elected to be a citizen of the District of Columbia, as a citizen of this corporate entity. And as soon as any of us make that appearance into that non-constitutional court, the Constitution no longer applies because we just entered the jurisdiction of the District of Columbia.
Yeah, well,
the point is we have to change our status. We have to give the formal notices and go through the procedure at this point to revoke our election. We made that election the first time that we, you know, allowed them to take jurisdiction, and when we admitted that we are a U.S. citizen, not realizing that we were not a U.S. citizen, because the term doesn't apply to people that are citizens of a state or an American national as a sovereign, as a man in residing in this country, in one of the 50 states. We are not what they classify a U.S. citizen. That is a fictional creation that they came up with to dupe everyone into, and we've made the election to agree to that, and we have to go through the process of revoking that election so that we can change our status, become in their eyes a non-resident alien, which means nothing different than an American national, somebody who is a natural citizen or a naturalized citizen of one of the 50 states, not subject to the District of Columbia or the corporate structure of this United States of America that they've set up as a corporate structure. Once we change that, then we never have to set foot in that federal court. We're not required to walk in there. They can't make us walk in there. And once we send that election to them through the W-8, they say, you can never come back here again. We don't want to see you again. You can never file a 1040. It may mean you may not be able to work for the federal government ever after that, because people who work for the federal government are subject to that jurisdiction, and they owe that income tax. But as a non-taxpaying American national, we're not subject to walk into that court in the first place. And if we do, we just put ourselves back in the position that we revoked. I'm learning.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. But the prosecutor, there's a good chance that the prosecutor and the judge don't know what you're even talking about. And
they're finding
you
out
see,
that they do. They do know what they're talking about.
Yeah, if they send out the U.S. Marshals with an arrest warrant, you're going to go, and you're going to go in handcuffs. And there's people. We had some people back in the East, I think it was Indiana, that dissected the whole thing, and they had a good handle on it, and I think some of those guys are still in jail because I think this has been most of them been tried in the last 5 years. There's more people gone to jail on IRS charges that are right, and they're more honest. Americans.
But you see, they did not understand that they had not revoked their election. That's the problem.
No. There's a lot of them that have understood that for 20 years. And so it's not, I know attorneys that went to jail, lost their bar association membership and went to jail. On this, that people that had a good handle on it, because when that judge, when he grants that motion in limine, you don't have a defense. It's gone. And they're going to railroad you just as sure as you're alive. Now, after all of this political gibberish that we've been listening to here for the last couple of weeks on this thing, I think those days are numbered when they can do this, because I think that this publicity and the awakening that we have across this country about how bad the IRS is and everything, it's causing people to study. It's causing them to think. And of course, one of the biggest problems we got right now, you see, is that about 50% of the people out there are on food stamps and such, and a lot of them are doing better without a job than if they had their old job back. And so those people are real, they're a real problem. And this is why when this country was founded, when it was first under the Constitution for the United States of America and the Bill of Rights, the only people who were allowed to vote were people who owned property. And today, you know, they had that change. They had they tampered with our Constitution and our system back there in the early 1800s, and they changed that so you know, anybody could vote. I remember back in Montana, they had a major shakeup back there in the 80s, I think it was, or late 70s. They were letting all of the college students vote, and they were encouraging it. They were talking to those 18, 19-year-olds as soon as they were old enough to vote. They were telling them, now get in there and vote. That way you can vote for these, what do they call them, the bond issues. For more money for schools and all of that, and it was a major problem. It's still a major problem today, but there's more people aware of it, and they end up they learn how to work around it, or you know they got a lawyer that can figure things out for them. So anyway, it's been. You know, well, like I say, the IRS has been politically tampering with the system, the political system, for a long time. In my own life, I've had it, I've experienced it now for, you know, over 34 years, and it happened before that. But now, there, you know, there's some things happening. I don't think it's going to continue. As bad as it was, I think we're getting a different audience when we talk about jury nullification today. We've got a bigger audience than we've ever had because people are unhappy. They know there's something seriously wrong with our political system, and so they're listening. We're getting. We made some headway, but I think more than anything that it's God's time for a judgment on our land. This abortion thing, those abortions, how many of them are being paid with our tax money? And that type of thing, the blood of those murdered children cries out to our Heavenly Father from the ground. And, you know, I think that our Heavenly Father is in the process. I think that the ability, you know, for people to learn the scams and the fraud, the deceit, the deception that the IRS has used, this is what you're talking about, Terry. Is the deception? You could spend days and weeks and months researching all this and getting all this information out, or getting it stored in your head. But most people don't have the opportunity. They don't have the mental capacity to do it. But now it's coming out, and like the audience that we've got tonight. They're hearing this probably for the first time, and I hope that it's very encouraging for them to know that you know that this IRS thing is being unraveled. You know, like we've been able to shut down all the cases that I know of in the tax court simply by serving you know on the court. A motion to dismiss the action because of the conflict of interest on the part of the judge. He is a government agent. He is a a government employee, which makes him a government agent, and he cannot make findings of fact or conclusions of law because of his conflict of interest. And we've had some very, very significant rulings by tax court judges on this in the last couple of 3 years. Well, it's been a little longer than that. The first one where we did this was back when I was still in Montana. And that's been, well, I've been out here now for 9+ years. So it's been, we've stopped them pretty cold in the tax court, but they still got the tax court because there's still enough people out there that haven't listened to what we're saying. And so they're still being victimized.
Listen to what one friend of mine has now had happen. He filed his revocation notice of his election. And he did it before April 15th, which applies to the current, the year that the taxes are you know, have to be reported in. It doesn't go back to previous years. It only applies to the current year and the future. He filed his revocation. He is now classified as a non-resident alien with no income that is effectively connected with a trade or business within the United States, being the District of Columbia or its jurisdiction. He then went and spoke to an IRS advocate regarding his new status. And he was told that based on the answers to her questions, that he was without liability and that no longer had a filing requirement.
Oh, I've heard that. I've known of that happening for 15 years at least, probably 20. However, you see, what they say then, a lot of them will say, well, you can't vote. You can't go in and register, because when you register to vote, you have to state that you are a citizen of the United States. And there's no technical explanation there or anything else. And so I know a bunch of people in Montana and different places, they refuse to vote. And I find that a real serious problem.
From what I'm learning, they cannot do that to you. All you have to do is explain to them that you are an American national, that you're a citizen of the state, but not of the United States, the corporate entity of District of Columbia. You can actually get around it. The other thing that they're doing is that they're getting passports. They're getting, in other words, all of the things that before people thought they were having to give up, they're now not giving it up, because it's a matter of understanding what the status is, how they use the terminology, how it's defined, what the definitions of the terms are, and being able to properly represent yourself or to act in your own self capacity and properly define your status.
Well, yeah, I think that you know, there are probably many cases around the country like this. However, you see, you've got to explain this to people that understand what you're talking about, and
right,
that's pretty difficult. And so, what's happening is this: you see, they're losing jury trials all over the country. Well, in Montana, they won the 12 or 13 back in 1976 and 7, 8, along in there, and But in 1980, after we ran those television specials, they tried five cases in 1980, and they lost four of the five. That's the only time that that kind of thing has ever happened in the United States. And so what's happening, you see, is they're losing more cases in the courts, the Full Informed Jury Association. They keep track of these, and every year the number goes up. And, of course, there's people out there doing what you're doing, what you're talking about, and that's just another thing that's coming at them. They're being hit from all sides. The American people, you know, if they get mad, if they get hurt or whatever, they usually come up fighting. They you know, I know people that have gone to jail. I have a friend that has gone to jail three times, and they haven't defeated him yet. He is still, and of course, he understood this status thing back, I don't know how many years ago. But they, in fact, one time, I think it was the last time that he was prosecuted, they weren't letting him put on a defense or anything. He was without an attorney. He wouldn't use an attorney. But the trial went over lunch, and so they put him in a holding cell or a room at the courthouse. They recessed for lunch, and they brought him some lunch, and they had drugged the lunch. They had put drugs in the lunch, and he didn't recognize it. And when the court came back into session, he was a stumble bum. He didn't know nothing, and they just ramrodded him through, and he went to jail. And afterwards, he knew exactly what they had done to him, but he didn't recognize it at the time.
That is the kind of
people we're dealing with.
Absolutely.
They will do those kind of things.
Dr. Kate has been very gracious and let us ramble on here, but she's wanted to make a comment.
We want to hear from her.
She's got to unmute herself first.
Uh-huh.
This is a great discussion, and I think Red sort of answered my question or my observation, is that it really is we keep on having to come at them from all sides. And the most fundamental one is really that it's a counterfeit to the tithe, just like the whole government is a counterfeit. So within that, because of all of this stuff going on and being alert, and I'll come back to these questions a little bit later, but it strikes me that this is an opportune time to keep educating people on the illegality of the 16ths and the IRS and, again, the grand jury or the fully informed jury stuff. I think those individuals who can do what you're talking about, Terry, and work it through are great. I think that's a great way to just keep coming at it. But the majority of people are not at that level in their understanding of, you know, the Act of 1871 and the District of Columbia and the jurisdiction and the, you know, the non-resident alien terminology has all these immigration stuff. So it doesn't negate doing that. But advocating for one or the other of any of these, I think, with the exception of the fact that it's a counterfeit, is, you know, it has its place in different places. So me personally, I don't make any money. And it's, you know, it's been an interesting piece, but as I, you know, get back into the workforce and do that kind of thing, I think I may or may not pursue any of the things you've talked about, Terry, but I'm more or less interested in keeping on the base themes. I mean, something that's very simple for me is to say that I do not support abortion. And that's my position, and I'm not paying for it. And, you know, because I can't tell what part of that tax goes to the abortion, I'm not paying any of it. And I stand on that. I also stand on, stand on the fact that it is a counterfeit. And so just from my standpoint, and we all have to choose our places, you know, I may be put in jail, but I'm not sure it's going to be for that issue. But if I got confronted, of course, I would put up the best offense that I possibly could. And that would be derived from things that I've learned from these very informative discussions. So what I'm saying is that nothing is right or wrong, you know, in terms of pursue this avenue or that, but they're all included. And we can't forget the fundamental basic thing, which is as a counterfeit. And to me, since God is, I really do believe that a lot of stuff is, the blanket is being pulled off of stuff. And as the media finally wakes up and as Congress finally wakes up, they're going to find out that we know that they're all part of the same game. And so I don't know what happens at that point, but I do believe that this is part of the awakening that is going on right now on all kinds of levels. And if it's that kind of awakening, you know, a big sort of broad one, I don't want to go down in the weeds on my status as a citizen or non-resident alien, you know, whatever that is. I want to stay on the broader side, which is really the work that Red has done, is, hey, this thing is illegal in the first place. And take a look at this. Who's going to jail? It's because the citizens don't understand that this thing is illegal. And keeping it on that broad level, again, granted, different audiences are different there, but just for me personally, keeping it on that broad awakening is very important. So not going down into the weeds on things. I mean, in some ways, I'm delighted to see this stuff, but it's, you know, and we have these great articles coming out and saying, well, you know, the IRS is really robbing us. And I want to say, well, you know, what time is it? How long has it taken you to get there? And yet, and this comes to a close, so I won't rattle on and take your time, but sometimes you do things years in advance, and it's like Red. You've done this stuff years in advance, and only now people are beginning to wake up. And I've heard you say this, Red, and you, Terry, too, that in terms of an awakening, it's not going to happen to people until it really begins to hurt. And I think we're getting at that place, and I think that all of this, the Creator is helping expose this stuff. But Red, the question to you is, since you've said that all along, it's going to take that time for people to finally wake up. Do you feel like we're finally at that place that you were at 30 years ago? Do you think that this momentum, that with the signs that you see, are good signs in terms of us waking up? So I'll stop there.
I think Dr. Kate, you know, I keep reminding people of what the scripture says, that, you know, we're all traveling towards eternity. And it's as straight as the gate and narrow as the way, and few there be that find it. I don't think we're going to see, you might say, a national revival, as much as I would like to see that. I just don't see that happening, but I do see God's judgment coming, you know, across the whole planet is going to pay a price for not worshiping and and recognizing the Creator, the true God, and all of that. I think that we've got a tremendous amount of our population that are so mentally crippled. They're disabled, and they have allowed it to happen to themselves. Many of them have enjoyed living the way they do, and such. And they're very difficult to reach with the truth, and of course I've said it, and I've said it earlier. The federal God is going to go down. Our Heavenly Father is going to let the federal God go down just as sure as he let the USSR go down. Like I said, I forecast that the USSR would not survive. It's declaring that there is no creator God. And of course, the rulings that have come out of our federal government, so much so right here in the Obama presidency, telling our military chaplains that they cannot pray in the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this type of thing. And so we know that the federal God is a small g God, and our Heavenly Father, the capital G God, is a jealous God, and he's going to defeat this monster, and we could very well have another constitutional republic develop, come out of it. Because the system, socialized system that we are getting into or have been in for quite some years, is not working, and it can't work. It won't work because people, once they, are feeding at the government trough, Cicero, back there, prior to the time of Christ, the Roman Empire was starting to crumble, and he said, when people discover, he was a great orator, and he was famous as an orator in the Roman Empire, and he said, when people discover they can vote themselves benefits from the public treasury, that system, that political system, will self-destruct. And that's not exactly his words, but because he was talking a different language, but that's what he said, and that's what many have said since that time, and that's where we're at in this country right now. We've got so many, many, many people that are voting, for the politician that promises the most from the public treasury. The public treasury, of course, in this country is fed to a great extent by the income tax, which is a total fraud. It's a total, counterfeit. And what really makes me sorry and disturbed is the fact that you won't find the pulpits in this country, very, very few, that are talking and explaining to their congregants the kind of things that we're talking about tonight here. They are saying, "Oh, you've got to file those income tax. You got to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." And so that grieves me. It grieves me a great deal because I would like to see a vibrant spiritual church working for the betterment of our country and all that, and we don't have it, and it really bothers me. And so I'll go back to you, and Dr. Kate, it was just real good to hear you.
I'd like to read something, if I may. Can you hear me, Red?
Yeah, what'd you say?
I'd like to read something. This is from the site of Adele Weiss, and I'll post his website on our chat in just a moment. I did post one of the USC, one of the codes there that is posted at Cornell Law's website. This is in regard to statutory election to pay the income tax. And by the way, before I read this, let me just say that I totally agree with both you and Red, you and Dr. Kate, as I have in the past, about people understanding that they have the right to judge the law and that the juries have made the wrong decision and that this, you know, we should be able to defeat this with Pettit juries if people were educated. But this takes a person out of that jurisdiction so that you don't even have to worry about that if you're willing to go through this process. And the people that are doing this now are now explaining it in a clear and concise manner in such a way that anybody that wants to pursue it can get the right information, do it correctly, do it quickly, and do it effectively so that they will not get themselves into trouble by putting themselves under that jurisdiction again. But this is what this says regarding the statutory election. The vast majority of American nationals at one point in their life made what is described in the Internal Revenue Code as an election. By the act of filing a Form 1040 U.S. individual income tax return, American nationals have literally chosen to rid themselves of their hard-earned income and ask the national government to treat their income like that of a resident alien as found in 26 U.S.C. 6013G. From this election, those American nationals, which we were all born, those of us that were born here in the United States as citizens of the state, we're all American nationals, okay? So understand that. We're talking about all of us before we made this election. So from this election, those American nationals have also asked the national government to treat them personally as a statutory legal fiction. Those creations of the U.S. Congress, the legal fictions, are the property of the national government and fully under the dominion and control of the national government, which is a corporation, of course. When American nationals make a statutory election by filing a Form 1040, they have, in essence, abandoned their status as a sovereign American national with no liability to file or pay a federal income tax that was only levied upon those who work for the national government via the legislative intent of the 16th Amendment. In order to become a true taxpayer liable for that tax, the benefit of being a taxpayer is that you have the unique privilege of gifting and bequesting your money to the national government so that it can spend it as it likes. Once the American national becomes a statutory taxpayer, established via the election process, the election is self-renewing annually. One can find this fact in 26 U.S.C. 6013G3, duration of election. Thus, those American nationals have agreed to the automatic renewal of their first election sub silentio when they file their first Form 1040. All of what the national government has accomplished by their propaganda efforts toward American nationals, being non-resident aliens, as American nationals are referred to in 26 U.S.C. 7701B1B, by encouraging them to make the election does not violate the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment indeed outlaws slavery and involuntary servitude, but it does not outlaw voluntary servitude. Those American nationals now have no protection under the Constitution and have relinquished their sovereign status in the Constitutional Republic as they have voluntarily chosen to leave the Constitution and the Republic behind for the benefits of being the property of the national government and gifting a large portion of their income to that government, which now controls their lives. But all is not lost for those American nationals The Internal Revenue Code also provides a way of reverting back to that former status. This is found in 26 U.S.C. 6013 G4A, revocation by taxpayer. Taxpayer verification can be found, and it's at that Law Cornell site, which I just posted, and that's at law.cornell.edu/US code/text/26/6013. So there it is. It's actually in the code itself, allowing you to revert back to your position as an American national not subject to that tax.
I would sure hope that 50 million people would be able to grasp this this information and put it to use. Because like I said, we've got to come at them from every angle, and that's what's happening right now. But I don't have much confidence. In fact, I don't have any confidence whatever in any legal argument, like this coming out of a law school. Because
the law school, all I quoted on the law school was the U.S. code. All I'm sending people to, sending them, this is not legal advice here. This is not legal advice that I just read. These folks are not giving legal advice.
Yeah, well, there's sections of the code, I think 63 or 60, I can't remember which section it is, but it makes it so that it's very clear that only government employees are required to make a return.
And
they just ignore that. They just they don't use that section of the code.
They ignore it because they've got people convinced that they have to make this election, and we don't.
Right.
And Kate's got another comment.
Yeah.
Dr. Kate would like to make another comment.
Yeah. Now, for me, the most significance of the process you've been talking about, Terry, is that it proves that the 16th Amendment and the whole system is a sham. So
yes.
A one-pager that describes what people can do without going into all the details is just more evidence that the thing is a sham. And then that gets us back to the bigger picture. And the same with every other tool that is being used to really shut them down. Someone needs to write a two-pager on that. And that's what I mean, a two-pager. It's referenced, so if people want to go for that, but it's a very simple thing that says, look, all of these ways that you can get away from this tax system only proves that it's unconstitutional, and it only proves that it's a counterfeit, and only proves that. And whether you elect to pursue any one of those avenues, that's the way I think to provide the better kind of education. What do you think? So I see that you sent me a two-pager. That's good, but I'm talking about all the methods to essentially prove that this system, whatever tool you use, it just proves the system is bankrupt. If you could get out of it, it just proves that. It just proves it. So anyway, I guess I don't want to, in some ways, Terry, it sounds like full advocacy for this approach, and I understand it's very exciting and it's there, and Red has said that it kind of has existed for a while. There are plenty of approaches. So I don't want to lose sight of the bigger thing to me, which is the counterfeit, and which is the bankruptcy of that whole system. Because as you both have said, the more we begin to focus on the money and the taxes, then we see how we have been taken for a long time. And then we can, then the door opens up to discussing even other things. So I'm all for these methods, but like I say, any one of them has beautiful options, has beauty of it. But what is our role in terms of, you know, individually we can take those options, but our role in terms of laying out these options and so forth. So I'll stop there.
Well, and I agree with you, and let me tell you why I agree with you, what you're saying. What this doesn't overcome, there's some things this doesn't overcome. If you go to get a mortgage on your house, what's the first thing they ask you for? They ask you for your last 2 years' 1040 filings, and they may not make you a loan. So, you know, this does at least provide a means for breaking the taxing banking vortex, but it doesn't solve all the problems in the system that are associated with this taxing banking vortex and the counterfeit tie that they've set up. So the system is designed to make it just like in scripture, if you see, where it says if you don't take the mark of the beast, so to speak, you're not going to be able to conduct any business. You're not going to be able to do anything. You're not going to be able to buy anything. Well, that's still the case, and this doesn't solve that. I mean, what would solve this is what Red's been saying all along, and that is the people need to understand they have the right to judge the law, and they're being deceived as to what the law is, because it's not the law. They've just been led to believe it's the law. So they need to understand the law so that they can judge the law. And they've been told they don't have the right to judge it, and they don't understand it because they've been lied to about it. And that is a bigger picture, and I totally agree with you on that. I'm just excited to finally find out that somebody has actually looked at this close enough with enough sense to articulate it in a way that we can actually accomplish something with this and feel safe that they're having 100% success with those people who follow this procedure of, you know, revocation of their election and putting out the right notice on that in the right time period, understanding that it doesn't help you if you owe back taxes. They're still going to be able to come after you for that because you made the election in the past, and if you don't make an election by April 15th, then, you know, you can't go back. But there is a lot more problem here. There's a bigger picture problem that you and Red are elaborating on, and I've elaborated on it in the past. So I don't want you to think that I'm just saying it's an either or. I'm saying this is something finally that somebody's put out there in an understandable fashion that I believe is effective. And I've been, you know, I've questioned, you know, how many people we've had on here, so at least 7 or 8 that we've done this with, and that we've let them give their system, we've let them talk about it. But I've never walked away feeling like I had something really worth anything that would keep me from going to jail if I tried to do it. And I know people that have used some of these systems, like Melby Bork's, the Red Amendment, for example. They go through all kinds of gyrations, rejecting their Social Security number and all this kind of stuff. Well, this is a very simple, really, means to do, and it doesn't take forever to do it. And it's apparently, according to the reports that I'm getting at this moment, are being 100% effective if the people follow the procedure and do what they're supposed to do. And there are people out there now that are able to help. So this does not negate the fact that the juries need to understand what the law is and what the law is not, and that they have a right to judge it. And, you know, I'm not negating any of the stuff that we've talked about on this show over the last, you know, 3 years. For this, I'm bringing this out as something that I see as something that I haven't seen before that I believe is going to change the game for some of us. Red, you've got 10 minutes left.
Well, you see, everybody knows out there that I've been around quite a while on this. And I've seen a lot of people come up with these silver bullets. And every one of them, for the most part, have valid arguments. Very good arguments. And, you know, it just, it's so frustrating because of the dishonesty that just absolutely oozes out of every bureaucratic door or whatever office. It's in everything, whether it's water or gold. I have a friend in Montana with some good gold claims, and the BLM has changed the rules. They have changed the rules, so it's almost impossible for him to, you know, use his skill and everything to mine those claims and sell his gold. He's getting up in years, of course, and that's a deterrent for him. But he's got a son that's just barely past 50, but he is totally frustrated because of all the new rules and regulations. So the entire system is so corrupt. It is so bad. And so I think that the good Lord is getting ready to, you know, the bureaucracies. You find that you'll have two or three bureaucracies that are contrary to each other. And so there's just confusion every place in the whole system. And I think that our Heavenly Father is watching all of this, and he's causing these people to make some terrible, terrible mistakes. And after they make the mistakes, they wonder why in the world they made them. Well, it's because our Heavenly Father is involved, and they have become a part, like that gal with 34 years in government service, and she just thinks that that's you know, entitles her to be able to lie and do all kinds of things like harassing the Tea Party people and all of this. That's part of her job. And there's just people lose their moral structure, the moral support that they've lived all their lives, knowing that they shouldn't be lying, they should be telling the truth. And but they've gone so far that they can't. I mean, that's the only way they can function, is if they're telling or, you know, putting out propaganda, which is basically a fancy lie, perhaps. But anyway, I'm going to be watching this income tax thing right now very close, because I have been involved in it for so many years, and I haven't changed anything at all from way back in the 70s. I'm absolutely convinced that you've got to have a very simple message, because you've got a people out here that are mentally crippled, and you just tell them, say, hey, get yourself registered to vote. And if you get called for jury duty and you are able to sit on a jury in a tax case, you might have to stick to your guns, and you may have to hang that jury. But you see, that one person has exercised their sovereignty. And you have all these people talking sovereignty. They're talking republic. We've got to restore our republic. Well, perhaps the biggest difference in a democracy and a republic is, in a democracy you have one vote. In a republic, the republic that was designed for us as a lawful system, you have three votes. You got three votes. I'm in the process of writing. One reason I'm bringing that up, I'm in the process of writing another ad for my full-page ads in America Free Press, and that's what I'm going to be talking about, is the three votes of the people. When we exercise all three of our votes, we can restore our republic. We don't need a civil war. We don't, and of course, as I've said many, many times, I just read it in my book here this evening when I was looking for this information on the income tax. I read it where I said that a civil war, a revolution where people are bleeding and dying, that is the evidence of failure, of the people to govern and govern properly without chaos and confusion. And so anyway, I'll turn it back to you, Terry. You get the last 4 or 5 minutes here.
Well, I'd like to see if Kate has any final comment before I jump in. You got to unmute first, Kate. No, she's done. Well, I want to commend you, Red, for being consistent and being a sound warning voice for the truth and the integrity that you've had through this whole thing, and for how many people that you have helped to take a stand against this you know, tyrannical police state that we've got, trying to steal every right, every individual right that we have, and even the term person has been corrupted by their definitions. But I just want to say, Red, that you've taught me a lot, and I'm just really, really thankful to be associated with you, and to have your wisdom back there, you know, slowing down some of the people who are coming in with sincere solutions. You know, I think these people, I don't think anybody we've had on here wasn't sincere, but they have gotten people into trouble. And you've taken a position that, you know, educating the people as to what the law is and to judging the law is the most important thing, particularly keeping God at the top of the pecking order. And you have ground that in to the point where it's just a part of me now. I mean, it's no longer something I have to think about. It's just always there. I'm always watching for it. I'm always able to judge the lies that are being told by whether or not they're keeping God at the top of the pecking order. And I owe that to you. And I just want to make sure you know how much you are appreciated. I just heard a big clunk on my deal. Red, are you still hearing me?
I'm still hearing you.
Okay. So you heard everything
I
said.
I want to thank you for that comment.
Well, you're welcome, and sincerely welcome, and very much appreciated. I think it'd be appropriate to close us in prayer tonight, so I'm going to do that if it's okay.
Good idea.
And Dr. Kate can be ready with one of her really beautiful tunes. Almighty Sovereign Father in Heaven, we acknowledge you as the true Sovereign. And without you at the top of our pecking order, without you sitting there as the Creator, then we recognize that we would not have the final say on the law here in this land if it wasn't for you delegating to us those rights which you have granted us. And we're thankful for founders of this country that recognized that and even put it into their document. So we recognize when we come to you, we are on holy ground. And we know that you can see the worst in us and the best in us. And we're just so thankful that you have sent your Son and your Spirit to dwell within us in his name, that we might be covered, that we might be able to have a presence with you because of accepting the gift and the gateway that you've provided of your Son and his perfect sacrifice. Thank you for giving us a clarity of mind. Thank you for teaching us about the importance of forgiving hearts. Thank you for teaching us about relationship. And we just want to be reconciled with you, and we hold on to the gift of your Son, because that's the only way that we know we can be reconciled with you. Thank you for my brother, Red. Thank you for my sister, Dr. Kate. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to our listeners. And we just pray that everything we do glorifies you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Red. Thank you, Kate. See you next week, folks. Walls in our minds. Good night.